allow that to continue.
Alex Vistosky with the National Alliance to End Homelessness said in a statement that studies have shown encampment bans and other punitive measures make it even harder for people to find stable housing and work. I'm Christina Onnestad reporting for Pacifica Radio.
Peace, this is Atan Thomas, and you're listening to WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice.
The current program is a rebroadcast of To Heal DC with Joni Eisenberg.
I wanna be there when the people start to turn it around.
Eisenberg, we are dedicating this show to Ross Baraka, and I am pleased and excited to have Larry Hamm, activist from Newark, New Jersey, joining us. But we're going to start out this show with a poem from poet Ross Baraka, who was also the mayor of Newark and was arrested by ICE on Friday. So let's hear part of his poem, What We Want.
What we want. We want to love ourselves freely. Unfettered images of our grandmothers in our dreams. We want to praise our own God. And we want to see his reflection in our children's eyes. We want to draw him blue like jazz with long dreads and thick lips. We want music every day and especially on Sunday. We want dancing to be a prerequisite for success. We want the blues and jazz and funk, rock, soul, hip hop, and R&B, and the wealth created from it to be our baby's inheritance. And we want it taught in all elementary schools all over the world. We want to speak for ourselves, we want to represent ourselves, and we don't want no handouts. Yeah, we don't want handouts. We just want everything we created and everything that was created as a result of what we created, and we want it with interest. We need a guaranteed income for all, education like fresh air and food and water and shelter, and be free from sickness and dis-ease. We need long life to collectively oppose death and stagnation. We need ideas and imagination. We should be against hoods like sheeted white ones, the ones that take and keep taking from the meek and often defenseless, even the glorified trap. Yeah, we against the trap too. We need our skies to be free from poison, to be able to breathe in sunshine and feel the wind on our faces. We need to end the war and oppression. We need the people to own their own labor. We need every corner of every country developed and every community empowered. We need it all turned right side up. We need the raw materials from the earth used in poverty anywhere exists. We need the calluses on our hands and the pains in our lower back to be added to our savings. Yeah. We need healthcare to be free, and information to be free, and ideas to be free, and the news to be free, and learning to be free, and the people to be free. Yeah, the people, they gotta be free too. We need to end slavery in all forms and end exploitation, and we need all the money and all the banks in every part of the world to be used for our collective benefit. Yeah, we need all the money and all the banks in every part of the world to be used for our collective benefit. We need to outlaw lies.
And that was Mayor of Newark, Ross Baraka, poet, very much a part of our community. We're going to be talking about him throughout the hour with Larry Hamm. But I first want to remind you that we are in our spring pledge drive. We have a goal of $750 today. Katia is going to be helping me a little later in the show. But you can start us off by going to the website, wpfwfm.org. Make a pledge for To Heal DC. You can also call 202-588-9739. And we'll be giving other ways you can make a pledge to this show and to your radio station throughout the hour. But with that said, I am very excited to welcome Lawrence Hamm, joining us for the hour. We've had him on before. He is the activist in Newark, very well known in the New York, New Jersey area. He is the founder of an organization called POP, People's Organization for Progress, which he founded in 1982. He ran for U.S. Senate in 2020 and 2024, and much, much more. Lawrence Hamm, Larry Hamm is one of my heroes, and I'm glad he could join us for the hour. He was actually right there on site Friday when Mayor Ross Baraka was elected. He's going to tell us what happened. And Welcome, Larry. And, you know, one thing I want to mention before I forget, it was interesting that Friday just happened to be John Brown's birthday.
Wow.
Strange. It's not really something. So welcome. And you have a lot to share with us. So take it away wherever you want to start with. You know, maybe start sharing about Ras Baraka. He is part of our community as well, but of course he's been the mayor for, when did he start being the mayor? What year was it?
He was elected in 2014. Mm-hmm. In fact, he was elected 6 months after the same year, about 6 months after his father, the famous poet, playwright, activist Amiri Baraka, had passed on and joined the ancestors. Mm-hmm. So he is a three-term mayor of Newark. You know, Joni, I'm a grandfather now myself.
Congratulations.
I'm 71 years old. Mm-hmm. The mayor Ras Baraka, the son of Amiri Baraka, is 55 years old. But I can remember when he was a child, literally. His father, Amiri Baraka, was a poet, a writer, but he was one of the foremost spokespeople for the Black Power movement in the 1960s. Newark was one of those hubs around the nation of the Black Power movement. His father, Amiri Baraka, and the organization that he headed at that time was the Committee for Unified Newark. And the Committee for Unified Newark was part of a national organization called the Congress of African People. They were part of the Black nationalist movement of the late 60s, led at that time by Dr. Maulana Karanga. That name may be familiar to people in association with the Kwanzaa observance. He's the founder of Kwanzaa. And Amiri Baraka was in that organization, and he set up the Committee for a Unified Newark, played an instrumental role in helping Newark to elect its first African-American mayor in its 350-year history, Ken Gibson, who was elected in 1970. His wife was by his side that whole time, Amina Baraka. And I can remember Amina holding Ras Baraka in her arms, you know, in the headquarters. You know,
wow.
Baraka had two headquarters, Ikalu Umoja House of Unity and Ikalu Mwalimu House of the Teacher. And I can remember those days a half a century ago, and to see him now, you know, a national leader, internationally known, is really amazing. You know, when I was standing out there on Friday when he was being held, when he was arrested and being held at the ICE facility on Freeland Heights and Avenue in Newark, I saw his mother there, Amina Baraka, mm-hmm. now 83 years old. And I thought back to 1967 when the rebellion erupted in Newark, New Jersey. I was about 12, 13 years old in the summer of 1967. And I remember, you know, that rebellion when we were under military occupation, under a state of emergency. And, you know, at that time, the Newark police nearly beat the mayor's father, Amiri Baraka, to death. In fact, there's a famous photo. If you go to any history book from the time, they'll have these photos, and you'll see that photo of Baraka with this huge bandage on his head. You know, they tried to split his skull. They tried to kill him. You know, and I was standing there looking at Amina and thinking about, you know, how much that family had given to Newark, and how, you know, she had to run to the hospital as she told the story to me, you know, to the hospital to try to make sure that they were going to save Amiri Baraka's life and not kill him. And that was in 1967. And now here she is standing outside of an ICE detention facility. Her son is the mayor of Newark, and now he's been arrested by the federal police and being held, you know, against his will. And, you know, it was a kind of amazing, you know, historical outlook for me, you know, to have seen all this happen. Ross Baraka was born in Newark, raised in Newark, a product of Newark public schools. And he's also well known and well loved in Washington, D.C.
Yes, he is.
Yes, because he was a student at Howard University and led student protests at Howard University. And my friend Todd Burrows, a writer, reminded me the other day, there's a whole book written about the takeover at Howard University that Ross Baraka helped to lead some decades ago. And he came home from Newark. He was an activist in Newark. He had an organization before he was in any political office called Black Nia Force. And they were active around issues important to the Black community, especially the issue of police brutality. This eventually led him to get involved in the political arena, but he was also a trained teacher. He taught in Newark public schools. Not only was he a teacher, he was a principal. He was a principal of, I believe, Central High School in Newark, New Jersey. And shortly after some time as principal, he decided to enter the political arena. He was elected councilman of the South Ward of Newark. He also served as deputy mayor, and he's now in his third term as mayor of the city of Newark, New Jersey, the largest city in the state of New Jersey.
Yes, and before we get into exactly what happened on Friday, I wanted to add, of course, Ross Baraka, very much a part of our community here in Washington, D.C. Other people remember him when he was born, such as Thomas Porter, or some of us call him the godfather, WPFW. Tom Porter has known Ross Baraka since he was born, very close to Amiri Baraka and his wife, as was other poets in our community, again, Kenneth Carroll. Ayanna Gregory put out a very strong statement last night over the weekend about being the daughter of Dick Gregory, how proud she is of Ross Baraka. So he's very much a part of the WPFW family as well. But let's jump into Friday. Friday, John Brown's birthday. Tell us what happened.
Well, let me just say where I was in relationship to all of this. I was actually in the post office in Newark when I got the first call. And this is one thing I want to say to put everything in context. What happened to Ross Baraka on Friday must be placed in the overall context of the immigrants' rights and justice movement that has been going on for some years now in New Jersey, that this facility where he was initially arrested, Delaney Hall, people have been protesting against that facility even before it opened. They were protesting back before it had even been switched over. It used to be a halfway house because it's right across from the county jail down there on Doremus Avenue. And when the plans were revealed that this was going to become an ICE detention facility, you know, groups were protesting against it. You know, groups like Make the Road, New Jersey, and Pax Christi, and Resistencia in Axion, and on and on and on. I don't want to leave anybody out. You know, there are a lot of organizations that have been active and working very hard around immigrant justice, immigrant rights, immigrant workers' rights. On May 1st, I marched with several thousand people, believe it or not, in Princeton, of all places in New Jersey, where Princeton University is located. The streets were literally filled. Nassau Street in front of the university, no cars could drive. The street was filmed from one side to the other. You couldn't see in front of you, couldn't see in back of you, you know, and people had come out to support the immigrant workers, you know, many of whom work at Princeton, you know, in service capacity and so on and so forth. But I want to set that because I'm afraid that the cause for which the mayor was campaigning may be lost, you know, in the details of him being arrested. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely.
His arrest is absolutely important. The role that he played is absolutely critical, but it must be placed next to the issue of immigrants' rights and immigrants' justice in our community. So people have been campaigning against Delaney Hall for some time. As a matter of fact, Joni, a week before the mayor was arrested, we had, and I think you knew about this, we had a convention in Newark.
Yes.
People's Organization for Progress had called the Martin Luther King People's Convention for Justice and Resistance. It was called by POP, People's Organization for Progress, but it was endorsed by 287 organizations. The end result of the convention was a 50-page agenda consisting of 24 resolutions that were passed at the convention. And one of those resolutions was a 4-page resolution on immigrant justice. And one of the main parts of that resolution was a demand to close all of these immigrant justice, these immigrant detention centers in New Jersey, including Delaney Hall. So that's kind of the some of the context in which this happened. So I was standing, I got a call. They said, people, the Congress people and the mayor are going to be down at Delaney Hall. And I said, great, I'm going to try and get down there. So I went from the post office to the bank. I'm standing in the bank. The next call I get, the mayor has been arrested. I said, I'm coming down there. Now, he was arrested at Delaney Hall, which is now a private prison, in essence, that is run by the GEO Group, you know, which is one of the groups that have been one of the corporations making campaign contributions to the Trump, you know, Trump campaign. And it had been a halfway house. Now it's an ICE detention center. People had been out there protesting and the mayor had come out. Now, he just didn't come out on Friday. He had been coming out on several days to try to get into the facility to make sure that the facility was in compliance. You have to have a certificate of occupancy. And to get a certificate of occupancy, your building has to be up to code. The people who are running Delaney Hall had refused to let the city's inspectors come in. So the mayor had been coming down with his inspectors to try to get in so that they could do their inspection. Now, this happened to come together with the efforts of three congresspeople, Congresswoman Monica MacIver, Congresswoman Bonnie Watson Coleman, and Congressman Robert Menendez, all from New Jersey and all from the kind of northern New Jersey air region of the state. They came in to do their inspection. As congresspeople, they have a right to do oversight inspections. So they had let the congresspeople in, believe it or not. You don't hear this part you know, in the reports, right? They had let the Congress people in. They had actually taken them inside to look inside at the building. Now, the mayor was there. The Congress people were trying to get the people running the facility to let the mayor come in also. They wouldn't let the mayor come in. The mayor came back out through the gate to where the public could stand on the sidewalk. That's the property of the city of Newark. To make a long story short, the ICE agents armed came out, about seven of them came outside on the public portion of the location and arrested the mayor. He was not inside. He was not inside when he was arrested. He was outside where he had a legal right to be.
Okay.
And they arrested him then.
And that's a good place to take a pause as we are in our pledge drive. And I can think of no other, such an important show we're having this morning. I'm glad to have Katia Stitt jumping in with me. Good morning, Katia.
Good morning, Joni, and good morning, Mr. Hamm. Nice to be with you both. And I'm so happy that you were there to witness everything so that you are debunking what some of the other press is saying. Of course, Democracy Now! Stands on the side of what you have laid out this morning. We heard that earlier. We do have some folks to thank. Joni, we want to say Thomas and Hassani, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Keep up the great programming. Also, Victor Harris, a friend of the station, sometimes sub-programmer. Says,
yes, and a native New Yorker.
And a native New Yorker, that's right. I've been inspired. Carry on and stay strong. Keep up the good work. So we are in need of $350 to go, folks. Just $350 to go. 10:22, so we have plenty of time to do it. The number to call, 800-222-9739 or WPFWFM.org. And again, we say it all the time, but we mean it. It's not a cliche that supporting WPFW, supporting To Heal DC is an excellent way to resist the fascism that we are seeing, the fascism that happened in Newark, the fascism that is happening all across this country, the kidnappings, the disappearances, all of that. This is an excellent way to push back by supporting a free press. Again, $350 to go. The number to call, 800-222-9739, or you can go online to WPFWFM.org. Joni?
Yes, and again, we're thankful and honored to have us with us for the hour, Lawrence Hamm, who is a hero in the New York area, New Jersey area, the founder of an organization called POP, People's Organization for Progress, which is always out in the streets. And before we end the show, we're going to talk a little bit about the conference or the conferences that Larry had a few weeks ago and what one of their main recommendations was that came out of it. But let's go back to Friday, May 9th, birthday of John Brown. And keep telling us what happened, Larry. You were saying,
Yes, and let me say, please, folks who are listening, support WPFW. I'm up here in New Jersey. I'm in the radio range of WBAI, but all the Pacifica stations are beacons of democracy, and we need them now more than ever. I'm a WBAI buddy. I support, I contribute on a monthly basis. So I urge folks to fully support WPFW in my hometown of Washington, D.C. A lot of people don't know I was born in Washington, D.C.
And a lot of people don't know, Larry, I was actually born in New Jersey.
Isn't that right? Right.
Yeah. So
we're both kind of transplants, right?
Yes. Yes.
But I was born in D.C. My mother lived, my birth mother, that is, lived in Washington, D.C. For 87 years until she passed away 2 years ago. But again, please, folks, support WPFW because this is the only station where a street corner agitator like myself could come on the radio and tell people we got to fight the power. All right. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I got the call that the mayor had been arrested. And so I'm going down to Delaney. Now, to give people a little bit of geography, Delaney Hall and the county jail are in the industrial hinterlands of Newark. I don't know how many people have been on the New Jersey Turnpike, but when you're on the Jersey Turnpike and you go, you're passing Newark, you don't actually see the residential Newark. You see and you smell the industrial area because all the industry is down there, some of which are very toxic. You know, Newark has had a number of these Superfund environmental sites, environmentally polluted sites, but that's where the county jail is down there. And that's where Delaney Hall is. And that's, you know, probably a 30-minute ride from where I was to get down to Delaney Hall. So while I'm going down there, I get another call that they had moved the mayor, that is the ICE agents, had taken him from Delaney Hall to another ICE facility in Newark, which was on Freeland-Hyson Avenue. And it just made me think, you know, about Mahmoud Khalil and Garcia and some of the other people that were snatched by us. You know, they snatch you. You live in New York. They snatch you in New York and they take you to Louisiana, you know, or they take you to want to fly you to El Salvador. So now they move me. I guess they were thinking that people were going to all come rush to Delaney Hall, you know, so they moved the mayor to Freeland-Hyson. So I made the detour from en route to Delaney. I detoured to go to Freeland-Hyson. And when I got down there, I was amazed at what I saw. It couldn't have been more, and I'm probably being generous, it couldn't have been more than, let's say, 2 hours from the time that they actually arrested him to the time that they decided to move him, because it's a distance from Delaney to the facility of Delaney to the facility of Freeland-Hyson. And you know, so maybe it might have been 2 hours by the time I actually arrived at Freeland-Hyson. And I was amazed because there were hundreds of people already there. And in that short of time, there were hundreds of people. Like the traffic was already at a standstill. And if anybody knows anything about the city of Elizabeth and the city of Newark, that facility is near the borderline between Newark and Elizabeth. Freeland-Hyson Avenue is a big, wide avenue. Traffic was at a standstill because so many people were trying to get the word was out in the community that the mayor had been arrested by these ICE agents, and we were all trying to get down there. And when I got there, there's a huge crowd there. His brother, Amity Jr., who was the business administrator for the city, was already there with several of the council people. I can't tell you how many. There were a lot of elected officials down there. Elected officials came from all over New Jersey to express their solidarity. Two were kind of in control of the situation. Patrick Council from the South Ward. He's a councilman, South Ward of Newark. And Councilman Kelly from the West Ward of Newark. And they were kind of like at the main gate. They had set up a sound system to speak to the crowd. And the entire time we were out there, and then it was raining like cats and dogs while we were standing out there. But, you know, everybody that was out there was determined to stay there until the mayor came. Even elected officials from New York City, from across the river, came over. Two of the candidates, Mamdani, is that his name? I think from New York City, and Brad Lander. They're in the race for mayor of the city of New York.
Yes, that's his name.
That's his name. Okay, they came over, you know, and elected officials from all over New Jersey, as far south as Red Bank, came up. So, you know, the whole time we were out there, people were speaking on the mic. We were chanting and everything, you know, and it was quite the scene, you know, and I was able to speak representing pop, you know, and I was, my main thrust of my remarks was that we needed to stay here as long as it take, you know, rain, daytime, nighttime, we need to stay here until they released Mayor Ross Baraka. And then finally, I would say close to between probably around 7:45, 8 o'clock. It was still light, but it was like right, I guess they call that dusk, right? Between the day and the night. It was about 7:45 or so. The word came out that the mayor was going to be released. And then at that point, it got a little, you know, a little, what they say on the street, a little jiggy, because the crowd was huge and the crowd was like surging when the word got out that the mayor was going to be released. So I have to take my hat off to Congresswoman Monica MacGyver, because I had brought with me one of our very powerful handheld units. It's not a bullhorn. It's like a speaker, but it's not, you know, it's a handheld, but very powerful. And she was able to speak on the mic and get the crowd to cooperate because people were so excited that the mayor was going to be released. And then because we had to move the crowd back and then move them to the side so these vehicles could get in. And finally, the mayor was able to come out. And it was, you know, it was something, it was really something to see the joy, the cheers that went up from the crowd, the tears, you know, of him standing there with his wife, his mother, his brother, you know, members of the city council, Councilwoman Roundtree and others in the Congress and Congresswoman MacGyver. Congresswoman Watson Coleman was there also. I saw her. And I think Congressman Menendez was also there. So they released the mayor around 8 p.m. And now he has a court date to return on Thursday. And I imagine that's going to be quite a scene also, because I know for a fact that a lot of the mayor's supporters and a lot of those who support immigrants' rights and immigrants' justice are going to be out there at the federal court on Thursday.
Thursday, that's May 15th. You're listening to Lawrence Ham, Larry Ham, activist in New Jersey, in Newark. He is the founder of a very powerful, important organization called POP, People's Organization for Progress, a close friend of Ross Baraka, as well as Amiri Baraka, and a friend to us here at WPFW. We're talking about what's been happening with Ross Baraka's arrest on Friday and the background to it and what's to come after it. And Larry, you mentioned to me that your daughter was there, and share a little bit about her experience there with, I believe it was one of the elected.
Yes, my daughter was actually there when the mayor was arrested. She was actually there because she works with Congresswoman MacGyver. And she and I talked, and, you know, she was quite, you know, if anybody can, if you go and you Google some of the articles on the mayor's arrest, like the AP articles or New York Times, the Star Ledger. The Star Ledger is kind of the paper of record for the state of New Jersey. You Google those articles, they, you know how these days they can include the videos in the articles, and they actually have, you know, video footage. And man, those agents were out there roughing up. Bonnie Watson Coleman is 80 years old. They roughed her up.
Mm-hmm.
They roughed up Congresswoman MacGyver. And my daughter said that some of the agents had drawn their weapons. Wow. And my daughter, I don't know that she has ever seen someone with a gun. She said they had the guns in her face. And I actually, this morning, I was looking, getting myself in ready for this this interview. I was looking at some articles and I actually saw my daughter, in the footage there. Wow. And, they came out there and in Gestapo style. I think Bonnie Watson Coleman, I heard her interview earlier somewhere. Maybe it was Democracy Now, right? In Gestapo style, and were roughing people up. And they took the mayor at that point. But, she was out there with us. So she was at Delaney Hall and she came over to Freeland Heights and also. But the next day, Saturday, she was having post-traumatic
yes,
syndrome.
Because
she was out there helping out and everything, right on point on Friday. But on Saturday, she was, feeling, as we say, she was feeling some kind of way.
And how old is your daughter, Larry?
She's 29. 29. Mm-hmm. And that's my youngest daughter.
Yeah.
Imani. She was traumatized by what happened. And, I don't know. I'm sure, the audience of WPFW probably has many veteran protesters. So they probably, a lot of you have been involved in acts of civil disobedience or situations where you had confronted the police. So I'm sure you can relate.
Absolutely. And we have a few minutes more before we ask you again to pitch into this show to support WPFW. But again, maybe we can start now, Larry. I was going to leave it till a little later, but tell us, I listened to you on WBAI and I heard you talking about some of the resolutions that came out of your very powerful, I think it's a conference around Dr. King's birthday and several other ones. And share with us one of the main resolutions that came out of those events.
Yeah, I will. But let me just say before I go into the Martin Luther King People's Convention for Justice and Resistance, this struggle around the arrest of Ras Baraka is going to be an ongoing struggle because Baraka was arrested on Friday. On Saturday, the press revealed this of Homeland Security saying that they were considering now arresting the three congresspeople. I mean, this is insane. Why would you arrest the congresspeople, your own people brought into Delaney Hall, took them on a tour of Delaney Hall? Why would you arrest them? Allegedly, you arrested Baraka because he was trespassing. But now you're going to arrest the people that you took on tour. It makes no sense. And I just think it's part of the lies and fascist propaganda coming out from the Trump administration. I'm going to tell you something also, that one of the this is purely speculative on my part, but I think one of the reasons they released Mayor Baraka on Friday was because of the overwhelming support he got from the community. I think they were pretty shocked that they saw in such a short period of time hundreds of people. Imagine how many people, because the people never stopped coming. They were coming until he was up, like, people, they always released already. Imagine if they had kept him overnight or kept him over the weekend. There might have been thousands of people.
That's right.
Out there. And I think the overwhelming response of the mobilization of the community, coupled with the flood of press, I think every television station in the metropolitan area was there. I haven't seen that much press, Eddie. It was like the president was in town. I think the press, and not only that, that story dominated the news. I'm sure Trump was probably pissed off. It's like, because he want to be the top of the news all the time, right? From Friday afternoon, literally through Saturday, the arrest of the mayor was the top story, and they're still talking about it. So now they're talking about the possibility of arresting these Congress people. They're really, we used to quote.
Okay. Larry, hang in there. We're going to come right back to you, but now's a good time for Katia and I to urge you, listeners, to go to the phones.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Joni. And as you know, many of the listeners know, I'm sitting right here on Canal Street because I didn't want to go through the Holland Tunnel until we pitched. Because I was visiting Johanna, and I was very close to the tunnel. And certainly, had they kept him, I would have been stopping in Newark today and lending my voice and covering it for WPFW, because that's what we do. This is news. And this is the kind of the thing is, they arrested him, as Larry said, because they wanted to show their might. They're all about showing, like bullies do, right? They're going to show, they're going to take him. Now they're threatening to arrest these Congress people. And if you see the video, that the Congresswoman is so tiny, she's like my grandmother. You know what I mean? It's like, I couldn't believe watching it. I was like, they're brutalizing an older Black woman. That is not okay. It's never okay. It's never okay to brutalize anyone. But I personally got very angry. And for doing nothing, she had not done a thing, nor did Mayor Barak. Let's be clear. He followed all instructions. So WPFW Pacifica Radio is where you're going to get the context, where you're going to get the truth. And as so many have already done, let you all please come and continue to pledge your support for this program to Heal DC. You're getting a firsthand account of what happened by Mr. Hamm, who was there the entire time. And he's absolutely right. The people pushed back, and that is what we can do. The people pushed back, so they had to release him, because it was just going to keep growing, and they don't want that. They want to do their dirty work, their nefarious things in the dark, in silence. And as long as we allow that, we don't open the curtains and let light in, meaning supporting media outlets that are free and unembedded, like WPFW, like Pacifica Radio, like To Heal DC, they will continue to do their dirty work. But we're going to stop it. And we're going to stop it through a free press. That is one of the ways that we stop it. There are many ways, and people are imploring many things. But we must stop it. And we must support this show and this station. So I want to say thank you to Anonymous out of Laurel, Maryland. Thank you so much. Anonymous out of Silver Spring, Maryland says, thank you, Joni, for always being in the vanguard. Absolutely. For all of the various, they know you, Joni, for all of the various movements over the years, as well as now. Blessings, Q. And then Jean Guy out of Baltimore says, WPFW is more needed now than ever, since public TV shows are threatened to be taken away. You are very well researched. Absolutely. Joni will come with the facts every single time. She books the guests that have the facts, that are often on the ground doing the work. So it's your turn to do the work by, again, calling 800-222-9739 or WPFWFM. These are the ways that you connect. We have $140 to go to meet this goal, but why don't we just double it this morning? Let's double it in the name of those Congress people and in the name of Ross Baraka and the entire Baraka family, because his mother was there on the front lines. You know, this is Mother's Day weekend, and Mama is right there. So why don't we do that? Can we do that together? 800-222-9739 or WPFWFM.org. Joni, I'm sorry to get so fired up.
No, go right ahead, Katia. And we're going to challenge all the poets out there, all the poets who went to school with Howard, with Ross Baraka at Howard University, including Ayanna Gregory, Kenneth Carroll. He is part of our community.
Absolutely.
I was honored to have Amiri Baraka on my show, a number of times before he left us. And of course, we did a special tribute, remember, Katia, in December to Amiri Baraka. But so, listeners, this is the time to support this show and WPFW. We didn't quite make the goal last week, so we're trying to catch up this week. We also are still celebrating not only John Brown's birthday, but we're celebrating Mother's Day. And Katia and I'm going to give a shout out to my mom, who is with me every time I go out to those rallies. My mother is right there, even though she's supposedly, she is an ancestor, but she's a powerful ancestor who inspires me all the time to get out there in the streets. And I'm sure many of you, I know many of you listeners also have moms as well as dads that ancestors now that inspire you to stand up and fight for justice. And
somehow,
I think it was it's no accident that this happened on John Brown's birthday.
No, I don't think so either. I'm glad you lifted that up, and freedom is not free. We see that it's precious. It has to be cared for. And one of the ways you can care for it, you might not be able to get in the streets. We understand that. You may not be able to lobby Congress or, do all the other things. But if you've done well and you want to do good, you can support WPFW.
Yes.
You can support the good work of Tahil DC. 800-222-9739. 140 to go. But as we said, we want to double it. We want to make up for last week. So be in solidarity with us now. Black NeoForce members, come on now. Come
yes.
on. Where are you
yeah.
at?
Yes. Make a pledge in honor of your mom, your dad. And Ron Hampton just texted me, good morning. And he's been on with Larry Ham last year. But let's go back to New Jersey now and continue talking with Lawrence Ham, I'm so happy to have him on for the hour. Larry, I was ready to march up to Newark on Friday when I heard this. And I could imagine Dick Gregory and, Dick Gregory being part of our family and Ayanna. I can rest assure you that Dick Gregory would have been marching up there to Newark had he still been with us. So tell us, Larry, I want to make sure we get in and actually, I wish you could stay maybe for a little bit more time, but we're definitely going to have you back. Tell us, and we'll have you back to talk about this, just briefly about that powerful resolution that you made at the Martin Luther King convention or meeting that you had.
Right.
That affects us today.
Right. Just for a little context, January 18th was the King holiday. And Joni, it just happened to be the same day that Trump was going to be inaugurated, right? So POP has always celebrated the birthday of Dr. King and commemorated the anniversary of his assassination. So this year for the birthday march, we always march on Dr. King's birthday. We decided rather than go it alone, we would call on other organizations to endorse and support the march, which we call the Martin Luther King March of Resistance. And 300 organizations endorsed that march. It was the largest Martin Luther King march we ever had. And so we met with representatives of those endorsing organizations and discussed what would our next steps be. And after a long discussion, we decided we would hold a people's convention and that we would hold it on April 4th, the anniversary of Dr. King's assassination. But we had 287 organizations endorse what we call the Martin Luther King People's Convention for Justice and Resistance. But when you bring that many folks together, you're going to have schedule conflicts. So rather than have the convention on the 4th, we had it on the 26th of April. And as I said, it was endorsed by 287 organizations, close to 300 representatives participated in that convention. And the end product of the convention was a 50-page document comprised of 24 resolutions, many of the resolutions dealing with multiple issues in a particular category, but it was a 50-page document, 24 resolutions. And of course, you know, one of the major resolutions passed was reparations for African Americans. Mm-hmm. We passed that resolution, call for passage of the reparations bill that's in the New Jersey legislature and the reparations bill that's in Congress, H.R. 40. You know, in New Jersey, we do not have any police review boards with subpoena power. We passed resolutions calling for passage of legislation to enable us to establish police review boards in municipalities with subpoena powers. That was one of the main things that Amiri Baraka was supporting before he died 10 years ago. We still don't have it, but we're still fighting for it. We passed resolutions dealing with voting rights. We passed resolutions for a living wage, for guaranteed income, Medicare for all, free college, an end to student debt, housing as a human right and an end to homelessness and gentrification. We passed resolution. We had a number of resolutions on foreign policy calling for an end to the genocidal war against the Israel's genocidal war against the Palestinians, for lifting the economic embargo against Cuba, for recognizing the right of African nations to self-determination, and for an end to Western imperialist interference in the affairs of African nations, and on and on and on. Like I said, there were 24 resolutions that were passed, and now we're in the process of putting that all together and having the agenda published so that we can distribute it to all the people who participated in the convention, who supported the convention, and all the elected officials, particularly those in Congress and those in the state legislature. But it was a very exciting convention. We had three plenary sessions, and we also had a gubernatorial forum. And many of the gubernatorial candidates, because we have a governor's election in New Jersey in 2025, the Democratic primary and Republican primaries on June 10th. And as you know, Ross Baraka, who is the mayor of Newark and was arrested on Friday, he is running for governor of New Jersey. And absolutely, he was one of those that showed up.
Okay, now I'm going to see if we can do something a little different. Lately, I've been having 2 hours on the air, and I'm hoping we can go a little bit over time. Katia and Mike, is that okay?
Mike, we can for this, because we're talking about what happened to Roz. We can definitely, thank you for pointing that out. We can keep going, but we also have some folks to thank, Joni, when you're ready.
Okay, let's hear it. And I want to go out with the hour with the rest of that poem that we were playing in the beginning that Ross Baraka said, "What we want." But who do we have to thank, Katia, and how much do we have left to go?
We still need your support. 800-222-9739. We are very close, but not quite there. And we want to give a little cushion for the next hour as well and try to make up for last week a little bit. We want to say thank you to Michelle out of D.C. Joni, keep up the good work on waging justice. And Anonymous out of D.C. And, you know, right about now, please keep the calls coming. 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org. I'm just feeling a little bit of somebody blew up America, but that's just me right now, you know. So we're going to hear Roz, but, you know, somebody did blow up America. So.
Yeah, absolutely. How much more do we need, Katia?
We are very close. I don't even want to put the number out there. I just want people to keep the calls coming. 800.
Okay, let's keep the calls coming, and let's go back to Ross Baraka, What We Want.
We the outlaw, everyone who opposes the right for all of us to vote, to be represented.
No matter where we are, no matter what language we speak, no matter what God we pray to dismantle the Electoral College. Yeah, we need to dismantle the Electoral College and make racism and white supremacy illegal. We need to ban the Confederate flag and label every monument to genocide with a red letter like that book, or just plain tear them down. And replace them with statues of black and brown women that carried us through the darkest moments of history. We need to destroy all nuclear weapons, but first start with automatic rifles. We need to replace the war on drugs with a war on ignorance. We need to destroy the pipeline of cages and use the savings to develop the human spirit to treat illness, social, mental, and physical. We need freedom. Not just the Bill of Rights, but rights to build our own lives, to be free from destituteness and hatred and hungry children, free from sickness with cures, underdevelopment and cold winter nights with no heat, free from losing our land, our block, our community, our homes, our family, free from choking to death in our own backyard. And schools that undermine our self-esteem, we need to be free from praising those that lynched us. We need to be free from praising those that lynched.
Good afternoon. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Here are some headlines for this hour. President Trump is in the Middle East for 4 days as part of his first major international trip of his second term. Today, Trump met with Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, and the two leaders signed more than 12 new agreements to increase cooperation between their government's militaries, justice departments, and cultural institutions. One deal that was focused on military cooperation includes a $142 billion arms deal with U.S. defense firms. Trump also gave a speech at the U.S.-Saudi Investment Forum in Saudi Arabia, praising the country's leaders, Crown Prince Mohammed and his father, King Salman. Additionally, Trump announced that he plans to lift sanctions on Syria following the fall of the Assad regime, which took place in December 2024, more than 50 years after the Assad family began ruling the Syrian Arab Republic in 1971. President Trump says that removing the sanctions from Syria will give them, quote, a chance at greatness. The Trump administration is requiring agencies to track whether federal employees are showing up at the office and whether those return to office plans still leave them with underutilized office space. In a memo dated April 21st, the Office of Management and Budget, or OMB, directed agencies to begin, quote, utilization monitoring at federal buildings starting last week. The General Services Administration recommends that agencies capture data from employees when they swipe their ID badges at security checkpoints or use data from their laptops or daily check-ins to estimate how many employees are working in federal buildings. The OMB memo gives agencies until this coming Monday, May 19th, to start collecting building occupancy data. That data includes a summary of daily occupancy totals for each day of the week and the average occupancy of each building based on a 2-week average. OMB expects full implementation by July 4th. In the federal sex trafficking trial against Sean Diddy Combs in New York City, Assistant U.S. Attorney Emily Johnson said that much of the prosecution's case would focus on two women, Cassie Ventura, a singer and former girlfriend of Combs, and another victim who was being called Jane during the trial. Today, Cassie Ventura, who was 8 months pregnant with her third child with her husband Alex, testified about her 11-year on-again and off-again relationship with Sean Combs. She detailed that she first met him when she was 19 and he was about 36, and that after their relationship turned romantic, she saw a different side of him, testifying that his mood would change from calm one minute to agitated or angry the next minute. She added that he would physically assault her, quote, too frequently, bashing her on the head, knocking her over, dragging her, and kicking her. A video was shown in court of Combs physically assaulting her in a hotel hallway. Ventura also testified that Combs, who was running her music career at the time, wanted to also control every aspect of her life, from how she looked to how she worked. She also testified that she did not want to participate in sexual encounters with other men while Combs looked on, but she went along with them anyway because she wanted to make him happy and feared physical violence if she refused to participate. In the D.C. area, a mental health town hall was hosted last night by the Prince George's County, Maryland Board of Health. At this town hall, which coincides with May being Mental Health Awareness Month, Prince George's County leaders heard an update from health officials about the progress made in the last year in providing mental health services. However, they also heard from parents who are frustrated that the county has not made much progress in providing those same services to children. Maryland State Delegate Kim Taylor opened up about her son suffering a mental breakdown and not being able to find help for him right away, despite calling 988, the Suicide and Crisis Hotline. Councilmember Walla Blagay, who represents District 6, said she's hopeful that the next Prince George's County executive will find the resources necessary to fund a robust mental health system for children in the county. In today's weather, it's currently about 66 degrees in D.C. That's all for your headline news this hour. For WPFW Washington and